Thank you. Welcome, everyone, on the BBS radio and internet radio, and welcome to our Wednesday night call. It's 5:57, and some more people came in. Hi, welcome.
John from Las Vegas.
Hi, John. Good evening.
Hello. Hi, Colleen.
Hello. Hi, welcome to the Wednesday night call. You like to say your name and city?
Hi, it's Cleo from Connecticut. How are you, Colleen?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Thank you. Well.
So we have BBS here, and it's just 5:58.
Uh-huh.
A few minutes away from Wynn coming in. And did I miss anyone? Was there anyone else that came on? Hi, welcome to the Wednesday night question and answer call. Do you like to say your name and city?
Hi, Catherine from California.
Hi.
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 Thank you.
I hear that you guys got some rain.
A little bit. It went west of us. But we've got a little bit, so it all helps. And I guess more is on its way.
Good. Good, good.
Yeah.
Good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday night call.
Hi, this is Prudence.
Hi, Prudence.
North Carolina.
Hi.
North Carolina, did you say?
Yes.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's where I am now.
Good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday night call.
This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, Colleen. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi, Don.
Hello.
Good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday night call.
Hello, this is Terry from Dallas.
Hi, Terry. Welcome.
Hello. Thanks.
Hi, welcome to the Wednesday night call. Would you like to say your name and city?
Hello, Shirley from Ohio.
Shirley, hi. Welcome.
Thank you.
That's very quiet. Very quiet bench. Good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday night call. Would you like to say your name and city? Or remain in the background? That may be. Good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday night question and answer call. Would you like to say your name and city?
Hi, Mark from New York.
Mark from New York. Hi, welcome. We're just waiting to start. Probably be in a couple of minutes. Good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday night question and answer call. Would you like to say your name and city?
Yeah, hi, it's Dave.
Hi, Dave. Welcome.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi. Good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday night call.
Hi, it's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jane. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday night call. Oh, Edna.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Hi.
I'm just on the way home, so hopefully I can... My phone is not going to die.
Oh, okay. Hi, welcome to the Wednesday night call. Would you like to say any... Oh, Terry. Hi, Terry.
And it's Wynn.
Or it's Wynn. Came up as Terry.
Terry, are you there?
I haven't heard her yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't send out my mailer for the day.
Hmm.
That's probably Terry. Is that Terry?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to the Wednesday night call. Would you like to say your name and city?
Hi, this is Deb in Oregon.
Hi, Deb. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good.
So we're just, we have Terry and Wynn just joined us, so we're probably ready to go if you want to start, Wynn.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm almost ready, okay? I shouldn't say that. You know, somebody finally told me, when somebody says, how you doing? Somebody gave me the best response I've ever heard today, aside from my obnoxious responses, which is like, I never answer that question, okay? and you know what they said? They said, well, I'm as happy as I can be. I told them, I'm gonna quote that. Hang on, I'm just putting the questions together. Edna's not on the line, is she?
Yes, she is. She was. Yes, she's here.
Edna, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, how are you? Oh, sorry. No, I didn't ask that question.
I'm as happy
back.
As I can.
I never ask that question to you. I'm always good about it. I want to
be here all week.
That's good practice.
Yeah. Hey, I must be getting boring already, huh?
Someone's sleepy.
Wait a second. Yeah. Isn't this getting fun? I'm not even getting many questions anymore. Everybody says, what do I need to ask a question for? But I can always think of a question if we run short. Okay. All right. I am just about ready.
All right. Tell me when to start the recording.
Is Michael Adler on the line?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Hey, Michael and I are... What's that?
You never know.
Being
in the back and you just know.
You're tricking us.
Michael and I are actually having fun together.
Well, that's wonderful.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it only took about, 3 pounds of weed, but it worked. You know.
don't ruin my reputation.
That's okay. I don't have one.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, when I used to smoke marijuana, which was years ago, I was tired all the time. But don't yawn, Michael. Or I'll accuse you.
Well, I'm not yawning. And you know, it's been a long, long time for me, too.
That's good. All right.
I think it's been 3 days. I'm just, no, seriously, kidding. I'm actually joking. I had a cast member, I had some aches and pains, and I had a cast member actually give me a joint about 4.5 years ago, and I think I came across it in my freezer, and I was just amazed that it was still there. And it's still there now.
You kept it fresh, huh?
Who knows? There's only one way to find out if it's fresh, and I'm not interested.
It's
well, it's a good thing we're not recording yet. That's all.
Oh, thank you, dear. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We're not recording. Yes.
Is marijuana legal now in California?
I don't think anything is legal in California anymore. I think you
but
need...
I think it was on the ballot.
It was, but then again, there's still a federal law that says that it's not. So I don't know.
Well, you know, they've legalized it, for example.
Vegas now.
Is that Chris?
No, it's John. We just passed a law. It's marijuana is now legal in the state.
Of Nevada?
Yes. Whole state, yes.
All right.
Yeah, it just takes the government a little time to figure out how to get a piece of it, and as soon as they do, no problem.
It's called taxes.
Well, distribution, and yeah, right, all that stuff. All right.
You know what? Let's change the topic of conversation.
Please.
This call is not about marijuana. It's one of the phases... It's one of the phases that a lot of people went through at some point in their life, you know? And, but in the long run, it may have served a purpose at a certain point, but not anymore. All right, let's get started. I mean, not to say that we haven't gotten started, because we have, but let's start the recording.
Okay.
This conference is being recorded. All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
And this is December 21st, 2016, and we're a few days away from Christmas. I just want to remind everybody we're going to do a New Year's Eve thing on Terry Friedman and on Jesus. On Saturday night. And the vibes of that call is always really, really good. And,
Christmas Eve or New Year's Day? New Year's.
Christmas Eve.
Okay.
I mean, it fits more on Christmas Eve, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think you said New Year's, so.
Oh, okay. On Christmas Eve. And we did it last year. Terry and I were down in Terry Friedman's nursing home, and I don't know how we did it. You were there, weren't you, Terry?
Yeah.
So, Father, wait a second. Yeah, that's right. Let's call in the light. And Terry and I are not ready, neither is anyone else. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry and myself. Any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. Right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. This is Ra An, and we greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are delighted to be with you tonight. It is a sacred moment in time when there is a connection between our groups and your group. If we ever say anything that does not resonate with you, then disregard it, as it does not apply to you at that time. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. First question is from Sherry in Bozeman, Montana. And she got an email today which talked about fear. Question is, how do we release fear and live with a sense of well-being despite circumstances? And I just want to mention, I think Sherry is coming to Whole Planet Healing. And I think what I notice is that in coming to that every day, it creates sustaining energy, a little community that helps keep you above all the things that are making you fearful. Now, it may not work right away, and there's a lot of things, and that's my answer of something doable. And let me turn it over to our sources and see what they say.
Thank you. There are frequencies. There is a place, a sacred place that you can move to, wherein the fears can go away. And it can be a refuge. And it is a connection to the higher realm, so that when fear comes in and takes over the mind, you can move out of that mindset into another mindset wherein you know that everything is okay in the long term, that there is a place of love, a place of home, a place of refuge. And when you can grasp the energy of that and move to it, you can move to that mindset and see and put things into perspective.
Thank you. What causes fear?
Fear is an emotion wherein something someone wants or something within the person's environment or within the person's mind brings a threat to what they want, whether it is survival or financial stability or a beautiful home, and something brings a threat to it, and then that threat creeps into the mind, and one does not know how to deal with it and honors the threat, the possibility of the threat taking over or winning, then that creeps into the mind and the person experiences that emotion of fear. It is an uncertainty of an outcome.
Thank you. Next question from Rick in Iowa City. When we talk to our pets, do they see and understand what we are trying to convey in pictures and images. That is, images that are formed in our mind as we speak. So we can still use English that they don't understand, but can they see the images in our mind? And is it true they can communicate the same way to us?
Yes, it is true. And some pets can even understand rudimentary English or whatever language the person is speaking in, as if it had been repeated enough that they can begin to understand basic concepts. Animals can generally grasp more about what you are saying than you would ordinarily think. And in their meows, in their barks, they can be responding in kind to your words. However you hear the bark or the meow, you do not sense even perhaps that they are attempting to answer you.
Can animals make plans for the future? And how far in advance, if so?
They definitely can make plans. For instance, a snake can lay in wait for a prey and have the whole thing mapped out. Know what they are waiting for, having sensed, seen the path of the prey. They can find the whole scenario out and lay in wait for the prey. Animals can plan to get into the food that is left out. They can plan how to jump on the counter and to see what it is that is there and then eat it. They have more planning ability than one would give them credit for.
And when animals mate, do they all fall in love with their mate? Do they tend to be monogamous?
Some animals are monogamous, others are not. Others are simply trying to impregnate a number of others. Many animals, however, though, are monogamous and stick with one mate and then, say, raise a family of birds and help the female. The male helps the female to make sure that the babies are cared for and that they have enough to eat. And when something happens to the mate, they can be very forlorn.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And Rick asks, is it true for wild animals as well? He was talking about pets initially.
Yes, it is. It is true for wild animals. Elephants have their own language that they can speak to each other in and convey more complicated concepts. Some fish, dolphin, can convey extremely complex concepts to their pod or to other animals within their species. It is not generally known, the language skills that certain animals had and the ability to convey to their group. There are certain inflections in their calls. We are reminded of the wolves. We are reminded of the whales.
Thank you. Next question is from here. Jim in New Jersey. Let's see here. I have a fun thought. I'm not sure if something similar was asked before. Since the age of 6, I have been a huge Star Wars fan. I find it amazing how successful the Star Wars saga continues to be and how far-reaching the audience is. It's not for everyone, but fans include all types and all ages, from little children to older adults who enjoyed the first film back in 1977. Using our vocabulary, the saga seems to resonate with many people, perhaps due to reasons beyond their wildest dreams. I had the idea that the otherworldliness and deeper spiritual struggles of the characters may be subconsciously familiar to wander-type souls from other planetary systems or densities. Is there a common thread connecting those of us who gravitate to the science fiction genre? And just to make a couple of comments on that, one of the characteristics of a wanderer is someone who's interested in science fiction. The guy who was the producer of Star Trek, Gene Roddenberry was his name. You can look him up. And he used to attend channelings before he did Star Trek. He attended channelings of a woman by the name of Phyllis Schlemmer, S-C-H-L-E-M-M-E-R. And it's said that he took many concepts out of the channelings and put them into the Star Trek. And I don't know if he was talking to the Elohim or a lower group. Our sources might answer that, if that was a connection to the Elohim or a lower aspect of the Elohim or something else. Let me turn it over to our sources and we'll see what they say.
Thank you. Something else is the answer. As Star Trek episodes are laid in to the past, different races, different means of travel, exciting differences, new worlds. They are lying as memories, dormant in a person's subconscious, depending upon if they had trek along this area. And it brings back, brings to the surface memories and coincidences, things that seem familiar and allow one to broaden their scope. It is a long track, and people have had incidences similar to ones in Star Trek. So it is popular, wildly popular, with some people to be able to tune in and to re-experience visions similar to things they have previously experienced.
Thank you. So, in other words, the way Star Trek is represented actually models circumstances of the past.
And yes,
that it creates, for particularly for an older soul in this realm who has experienced those circumstances, it kind of creates cellular awakening, yes?
It wouldn't be as much of a cellular awakening as a life body awakening of past memories.
Okay. Thank you. Next question is from Edna.
Yes.
And Edna asks, when I am working with souls, helping them cross over, I interface a lot with the white pure light, since the spiritual realms open up and the angels and the sources get together, collaborating and supporting souls to cross over. I also interface a lot with purple, violet, and blue colors, which I believe is protecting me while I am working. Once in a while, I come across negative type of manifestation, which is much more the type of work that Fred does. If I come across that type of negative situation or manifestation, I end up working on it to clear it up with the help of our sources and the spiritual team. However, I normally prefer to stay away from the negative for different reasons. I would only work on the situation if I find myself in the middle of it. Could the sources tell me if I am doing the right thing and I am using the negative, the correct process strategy, when I have to work on clearing the negative? When I am interfering with the negative, I am assuming that the colors that I see is the protection around me. I am also assuming that I make sure not to get caught in any negative residue in myself as well. Thank you.
Thank you. That is good to let all of the negative go. Sometimes the negative has hooks and beams that attempt to attract you to begin to take your energy. This is not a healthy situation. So it is good at the end of an episode to totally step out of it and disconnect and clear anything of residue. Sometimes one gets into a negative. However, it pays to remember that negative can have the life force of the negative entity in back of it or pushing it. And in that case, it is something they have chosen, and it is best to let it go.
When one is doing light work and they're working, and as Edna was talking, on the other side, helping to clear energies, there are certain people that seem to go into battle with the negative that's around. Is doing battle with the negative and chasing them away effective, or is there another way of doing it that is just as effective without having to get into the trenches with them.
Thank you. When one takes on negative energy one-on-one and attempts to broadside them with the good, then they can, in some degree or manner, begin to change their energy, however it is, by a forceful means, and that it's not generally permanent, because whatever is in back of them, the negativity still is impelling them to create the negative. And unless you can jump to the reasons, the background, what they are attempting to do through their negativity, and help them to see that that is not the best path for their purpose, then they will continue to generate the negative effect. Reynard is one entity, a separate entity, that works at times with negativity to simply affect it to change based upon the good that he projects straight into the negative. It can have an effect, however, unless you get to the basis of why the being is negative, then the effect is not generally permanent.
When one is doing this, kind of having, say, negative attachments, would a good image be to be able to expand one's energy into the space so the negative just can't fit in there anymore, as opposed to even recognizing that he's there?
One can make oneself larger than the negative. However, there are all different sorts of scenarios. One can attempt to throw him out as is gone in possessions. However, one is not changing the negative energy by throwing him out or displacing him from the space. And sometimes he can come back.
I see. That's throwing him out. If one can hold their space and hold their own space in that space where the negativity was, that would keep the negative entity from coming back. Yes, if one could do that.
Yes, if one could do that, correct.
But it's not so easy to do it.
Well, if one sometimes can realize why they have had the openness toward the negative energy being there in the first place, then it is easier to take over the space and to then maintain it on their own, rather than to have a space, empty space, where the negative energy can come back.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Next question. I've got a number of questions that have come in over the past months about CERN. And is there some nefarious intent with the development of CERN that it's okay to share with us? Because if it's not okay, sometimes it's not okay to ask that kind of a question. But just turning it over.
The majority of people at CERN feel that they are simply doing scientific permits and are doing their job. There is a misconception upon the effect of CERN upon the Earth field. There, in the generation of the magnetic field that accelerates particles, it has a backside, that a flip side that generates magnetic effect that radiates into the Earth. When CERN is operating at its high level, it can affect the magnetic core, the plasma in the Earth, the plasma field near the center of the Earth. And it can begin to make distortions that are carried upward into the Earth on the opposite side of the Earth from CERN. One should start observations correlating when earthquakes, particularly deep earthquakes, occur and CERN is run.
So you're suggesting that there, in fact, is a correlation between CERN and earthquakes. Yes?
Yes, however, we do not suggest you take a word for it. Simply catalog the days that CERN is running and the amount of earthquakes on the opposite side of the Earth from CERN.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, some people think that CERN is the kind of device that could actually make the entire planet explode, similar to Maldek. Is there any truth to that?
Maldek was caused by atomic explosions that shattered it into pieces. CERN is creating magnetic hiccups that are displacing the crust. It could lead to crustal displacement. That's our answer.
Thank you. Another thing that was talked about early on in one of our early channelings through Daphne, it was spoken that there was a separation of souls that was in process, and souls that would graduate and souls that would repeat. And then there was, and that was the first time I even heard of that thing, and that those souls would actually be existing on the planet at the same time, and that they would slip and slide away from each other, even on the planet. They'd be operating in totally separate paradigms. And they, you know, unless they had some business specifically to do with each other, there was no real crossing of connection. And it seems like we are in that time right now. Could you talk about that a little bit?
When each individual is a separate entity on his or her own path, and so experiences differences to some degree differently. There are people who have ended their karma track and they are able to ascend. Delta deserves to come back. People that have not ended their play with karma are liable to come back to continue to play out their karmic future, their karmic debt, their attention, their attention on their karma. They tend to come back to play out scenarios and learn more about it until they have learned the lesson that the karma is there to teach them. So there is much individuality in whether a person is ready to ascend and let the third density go, or whether they desire to continue to play out some scenario or some track that they are attempting to resolve.
Now, the future of the Earth is its own trajectory, and it's still, I believe, under negotiation as to what kind of future Earth is going to have. One potential is the way 1984 described, where there's artificial intelligence, where humans are hybrids, where they're totally manipulated in some kind of semi-machine society. And then there's another potential where there's a new Earth of love and light, and people are all getting along and cooperating. And are those two potentials both going to manifest separately on the planet? Or what's the probability vortex of
if you take
those,
all the individual paths of people, their individual vortexes, and put them together, it affects the third density consensus reality to some degree. There is a consensus reality that things will be more harmonious. And then others feel that there is going to be detrimental actions. People standing up for what they believe, for a profitable, an environment that is conducive to growth and to love and to peace. There, that consensus, if it can eliminate the problems, it could make for a very loving Earth. If it doesn't, then it could make for a difficulty.
Mm-hmm. Are the Andromedans playing a part on our planet right now in some way?
They are watching scenarios. They're to some degree playing a part. Beyond that,
Are they playing a part for their own self-interest, or do they have some benevolent aspect for the population on this planet?
There is some benevolent projection. They wish that Earth would be more like their society, because they feel that their society is more successful and that they can, to some degree, act as teachers.
Andromedans are more human-like in form, are they not?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, how about if I ask the same question for the Pleiadians?
Pleiadians have a whole different field. They are not opposed to Earthlings. They feel themselves more superior. And they get more patient. They tend to be more judgmental.
Mm-hmm. Did you say more impatient?
Yes, and more judgmental.
Okay. Are either of those planetary groups reptilian or more reptilian in nature?
Reptilians are their own breed. There are pockets of reptilians, various places, like Mars.
Mm-hmm. And in, well, I don't think I'll ask this one. Okay, I'll get off of this topic of space people. But thank you for sharing that. It is 7:50, and I don't have any more official questions for the evening. Let me see here. No one sent any in. Here's a question. There are constantly people putting things up on the internet, and I'm not sure how they know this, but they talk about various energy waves coming in from the galaxy, and they're commenting on the impact of those. Could you share something about that?
The solar system is moving through the galaxy, and as it does it, it encounters different levels of energy that then impact the solar system, impact the sun, and build up a heliosphere around the sun. It can impact it by slowing it, by changing the planets to the resistance of the different matter that the solar system is going through, to impact it, those particles with the planets, to increase planets' light that is radiated around the planet, can change the frequency of Earth, which then impacts the frequency that humans are surrounded by and has to modify or adjust to the new frequency, much as one would have to adjust his GPS if their work changes, or the North Pole were moving, then the GPS would take that into account, a person's body and their light body take these things into account and readjust so that they are continuing to be able to operate in the new frequency environment as the solar system moves through different areas as it progresses in its traverse around the galaxy.
And how does that affect, how do these things affect individual humans on this planet? Do they cause geophysical changes or tend to provoke them? Do they tend to lift the vibrations of people? What's the impact?
The people need to automatically adjust to the new circumstances so that they are continuing to keep their place and to operate in sync with the rest of the planet and the solar system and the energies. So it does modify the energies of the people. Sometimes individuals coming in are not able to keep up with the difference in frequencies. And so it tends to bring in individuals that are more adept at surviving at the different frequencies.
So one has to be kind of not rigidly holding on to old patterns to adapt to the new frequencies coming in.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. And if somebody is rigidly holding on to the old patterns and they're not getting into the flow of the new frequencies, how would that impact them?
They may appear slow or stupid, or they may not survive long.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Steve Canal sent an email and said he loved the topic of the space people. So thank you, Steve. And anything else before we close?
You are on an adventure on a spaceship Earth. And it is a very great learning experience. Do not be disheartened when the localized energies or actions of people are inane or destructive, as you keep your own integrity. You mesh with the highest, and you will survive.
I thank you so much. And, hey, I just wanted to mention that Terry and I are sending out little Christmas things. And if you're on this call, you know, there's people on our calls that I don't even know are listening. But if you would like to get one of our little Christmas things, which will probably more be like a New Year's thing, please send me an email with your address, and you'll get one. And there was really good energy in it. We both signed them, and you'll like it. So there. On that note, we're going to end this session, and we're going to move over to our whole planet healing call, and we'll see probably a lot of you in the next minute. And if not, you have a good day until next Sunday.